Amen. Welcome to church. This is the last four Sunday of the year. we tag everything. The last month, the last Sunday, Abby. Hallelujah. And God has been faithful. Amen. When things happen and when things change, you first sit down and wonder, how will I survive it? But when you look back, just like the song you sang, is it Kenny that composed that song? Because he was saying he will not walk alone. It's only that, only people that know. Amen. But when you have God as your backbone, and when you see him as your backbone, as your pillar, then there's no shaking. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when he speaks, it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. Romans chapter 15. It's Family Sunday, so I hope you remember. So today is the last first Sunday of the year and the last Family Sunday of the year. Hallelujah. Well, let's dig deep into the word. Hallelujah. Do you have any testimony? I just take two this morning. So if there's none, okay, Grandma Anuche, all right. Hallelujah. It's like when you're playing Kahoot, the fastest and the best. Hallelujah. So Romans 15 verse 4. Where is it? I don't read it. I won't read it from my head though. It's showing. What is there? For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. For whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. Hallelujah. So that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. So, if some people are not good at telling stories. Okay? Some people tell stories and you just sit down and you marvel, because they will take you line by line and it will be as though you were part of that thing that was happening. Amen. I think when we were growing up, we used to watch Tales by Moonlight. And the way he would talk, say the story, it would just be like, you are there. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible is saying that these things were living so that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So as you read and learn from the scriptures, we begin to see that patience is involved, and then the comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. And then you see that there is hope. Amen. Because the one that gave us the scriptures, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changing God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is the greatest, if you call him the greatest inventor. Hallelujah. That he created man, and there's no new version of man. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Genesis chapter 18, before we give our testimonies. There's nothing you cannot do. From verse 1, I read the NKJV. It says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mam, and it was as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your heart. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the earth, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man and hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was leaning in the tent door, which was behind. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" Hallelujah. Take a pause there. So in this portion of the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, they did not have any child that they could see physically. But if you look at it carefully, God was not referring to Sarai. He was referring to her as Sarah. Hallelujah. And if you look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 5, the Bible says, verse 15, sorry. It says, "Then God said to Abraham," so this was when Abraham was 99 years old, and God was talking to him, and was fellowshipping with him, was just discussing. And he said in verse 15, "Then God said to Abraham, 'As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her.' Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, 'Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 99 years old, bear a child?' And Abraham said to God, 'Oh, that Ishmael might live before you.' Then God said, 'No, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him.'" Amen. Hallelujah. God is very intentional about the things that he says. And at the point that he says it, it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. So when God says something now, then it is done. He was speaking to Abraham. He said, "Your wife will no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah." And every sentence that followed, he referred to her as Sarah. Amen. Hallelujah. And he explained further. He said, "You know what? He said in verse 16, "I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and shall be mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." God talks to us or refers to us or speaks to us from the point of view of his own intentions and his will for us. Amen. So when he was speaking to Abraham, first thing first, he said, "You know what? This is your wife. This name is no longer befitting. You shall call her Sarah." And then when he came visiting next, he did not forget that he changed her name. Hallelujah. Amen. He did not. Now, the reaction of Abraham was the reaction of Sarah when he came visiting again. When God told him that, you know, you're going to have a child, he said, "How can a 100-year-old man have a child?" When the angels came visiting and he was talking to Abraham and she heard, she laughed. Hallelujah. But God will do what he says he will do. Not because of you and I, but because of his word and his name. He says he exalts his name, his word above his name. Hallelujah. Amen. So he doesn't play around with his words. If he's not going to do it, if he's not saying it, then forget about it. Hallelujah. But once he has said it, amen, he will do it. Whether you believe it or not. Now, don't now take that as a license not to believe. Because whether you believe it or not, he will do what he says he will do. But the time that you take, that you manifest, you'll be the one that will extend it. Hallelujah. You will see that immediately he said to Sarah, why did you laugh? She said, I did not laugh. Because that will be unbelief. And that will shift the time of things. Amen. God has spoken concerning you and I from the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. And has brought us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. And so everything that you can gather in the scriptures, especially during this period, and as you pray to him, because he's good, he's been speaking since the first, hallelujah, and he's not going to stop speaking, except you're not catching it. Amen. As we are seated now in this room, all the signals of all the telecom companies in Nigeria, they are passing through here. But no phone is ringing. Abi? And no phone is buzzing. But does that mean there are no signals? Hallelujah. Now, if you switch off the signal receptor of your phone, you are not going to pick up any signal. Number one, if the signal is not targeted at your phone, you are not going to pick any signal. Amen. But what God's word is targeted towards his people. Hallelujah. And it is important that you and I turn on our receptors. Because if you don't turn it on, you miss it. So, for instance, if I think most of the time when we play our online game, people shouting, I don't have signal. Hallelujah. But some people have signal. And then we begin to laugh. Some maybe because, no, let me say it. all our devices, they have different capacity. They have different capacity to pick up signals. Now, as children of God, we all have to train our capacity to pick up God's signals. So if I put 3-4 devices here, okay, and I call, so some, you know, if you're calling maybe your spouse, say, she's just there, and this signal is saying that a phone is not available. You call another person, it rings. Abi? Meaning that what has happened there is that at that point, the signaling capacity, reception of your spouse's phone is not strong enough. But the other person's phone is strong. So you are calling one, you are calling another to check, and only one is ringing. It's because the one that is ready, okay, is one that will pick the signal. So when God speaks to you, and you are not listening, or you hear, and you are not processing, then it's a waste of that time that you have spent in his presence. Amen. Sarah understood the fact that it was God that was speaking. Even though if she could not imagine by the natural laws that at her age she would bear children, okay? And this is not, there was no science then. You know, now science has changed the course of things. Hallelujah. But even at that, science tells you that there's a limit to what they can do because of the age of the body. But when she knew that God was serious. And that's why when she laughed, she could say, no, I did not laugh. And God said, no, you laughed. When the same words went to, was it Mary? What did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. The Bible also tells us that the children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because of their unbelief. Because of their stubbornness. Hallelujah. When parents pay, when they send their children to school, and they pay the fees, when they are grown up, they have an option. Either they go to school or they don't go to school. You know those kind of children. So when they get to school, you don't find them in class. Their parents will come looking for them, but they've paid. But they are not making use of what has been paid. Now some don't have that opportunity. Okay? They don't even know. And then somebody just still goes to school and says, you know what? Please, I've paid for as many children as wish to come to this school. Now, the one that doesn't know that provision has been made can never access what has been done. Hallelujah. We need to always, and that's why when we're singing, there is nothing you cannot do. If you have said it, you will do it. You can't know what God has said if you are not reading his word. Amen. What I say is not written down. But what God will say to you cannot be beyond the scriptures. For everything he says, you will find a scripture that will back it up. And when you are studying the scripture, you see what he says, then you are going to pick it and work with it. Oftentimes what happens when we pray is that we know that we ought to pray. Okay? And then we pray, and we are done, and we are going out to work. Abby? But that's you telling God, or bearing your mind to God. You did not wait to hear from him. Because it's a two-way thing when you pray. And he's not going to come and say, Sunday, you're not going to work today. You're going to stay. It starts from the place of this word. Hallelujah. And then he ends with his word. He says, my sheep, they know my voice. Abby? But what is his voice saying? They are his words. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1. It says in the beginning, John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. I'm reading the Amplified Classic. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. It says it was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him, and without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on in darkness, for darkness has never overpowered it, put it out, or absorbed it, or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the beginning. That's how God deals with us, with his word. So even when he was speaking to Abraham, okay? Whatever Abraham was hearing was the word of God. Amen. God was speaking to him, and he was listening, and he was taking it in. You know, it's not every time that you hear somebody's voice that you can remember what he said. Abi? Especially when you have lost interest. So sometimes you go to a meeting, and you're so keen, and then after a while, you get distracted, or your phone begins to buzz, you get distracted. And then you lose concentration. So everybody should understand his attention span. And it even works, even when you're listening to God's word. Amen. So for instance, if I'm in class, maximum I can listen to you is 15 minutes. Maximum. And if I'm watching film, the maximum I can do is 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, I must sleep. There's no against 30 minutes, I must sleep. If I don't sleep, I will get up because I will not be able to follow it again. So I understood my pattern very early. So when I was in school, I knew that if I have to be in the lecture room, I must listen. Okay? And oftentimes I must listen, because once I listen, I I'm fine. I can go ahead with whatever I've read, I've listened to. It helps me. And I don't go to cinemas to watch film because I'll sleep. So it's a waste of my money. So when I sleep at 30 minutes, I wake up at the end of the cinema. So that's just how it is. So I don't bother. So if you cry from morning to night, I won't follow you to cinema. I'll tell you that. Come and use your money to buy popcorn. Let's sit down and do it because I cannot do it. But I'm saying that when you are working with God, you have to understand Him. Because he says he needs you together with bones and sinews. So he already understands our build. Hallelujah. And he's sending his, what do you call that thing? He's pinging. He's pinging you. He's sending signals to you. Hallelujah. You have to understand how he's dealing with you. You see, when I look at the stories of Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, I just marvel. They were in the Old Testament. Yet the Bible clearly records that Abraham was talking with God and God was telling him that, look, I have this thing to do. I want to destroy these people. Huh? God was telling him, I want to, and then they were negotiating. Unfortunately, Abraham's negotiating power did not go low enough because he assumed that this is Almighty God. I cannot overstretch my luck. There is no luck when you're working with God. Open your mouth wide and I'll feel it. Dare to ask and you will receive. It's when we begin to fathom how God will do things. Just the way Abraham said, I'm already 100. Or when Sarah laughed, when we begin to fathom based on natural sequences, that's when we begin to doubt. Hallelujah. And because God knows our frame, even before he gets to you, even before he comes close to talking to you, he already knows what he has decided. You know the story of Nathanael, the disciple that God called, Jesus called. Jesus told him that even before Philip came to you, John chapter 1. John 1:43. It says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Hallelujah. That was the first time of encountering him. But Christ could tell, okay, from afar. And he said, an Israelite of whom there is no deceit. And then Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Amen. First, he knows him as an Israelite. Second, he knows him that there is no deceit. And that brings me to one point, that you know who you are. So if I look at you and say, divine, or in whom there is no deceit, you will know whether I am right or wrong. Because you know yourself. Abi? And then he said, Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Hallelujah. So Christ was telling him his position even before Philip came. And there's no controversy about it. He knows ahead of time where we are, our location. So when he comes speaking to you, who are you to query what he's saying? So in Philip's mind, Philip will be the one that will say, I found Nathanael. But Christ is saying, even before Philip came to you, because he had already chosen him. Okay? And he knew what he was doing. And he knew to convince him that truly he was speaking to Christ. And he just gave him his relative position concerning the things that he was doing. And that was enough for Nathaniel to say, you are the king of Israel. The disciples and the stories in the Bible, they show us that people who followed God effortlessly. Hallelujah. The ones that believe God and the ones that the Bible have recorded, that it showed that they followed him effortlessly without questioning his authority. But in these days, often we will always question it. Once it's from the pulpit, everybody begins to question it. Abi? Once it's from the Bible, why do you question it? I'm not saying don't go and verify that it's okay. Hallelujah. Amen. But look at Nathaniel's response. Look at Abraham's response and Sarah's response. They knew that they were dealing with God because of the conversations they were having. And those conversations that you have with God should be enough to convince you that this is God Almighty. Hallelujah. Philip told him, but Nathaniel followed based on his conviction, on his own encounter with Christ. Hallelujah. When you follow God, you know God for yourself, number one. Nobody can know God for you. The best anybody will do is to present him to you. Abi? Like when you present the world heavyweight boxing champion, you tell this is the world heavyweight champion. Whether you believe or not, go and test it. Whether it's boxing champion. Best anybody can do is to tell you who he is. The best you can do is to experience who he is. The Bible says that Job made us to see the end that God intended. Because he said, whatever is happening, I'm fine. God is God. Hallelujah. Psalm 33, verses 8 to 9. Psalm 33 says, let all the earth fear the Lord, revere and worship him. Amplified Classic. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. Amen. And the Bible says, it says, my word will not return to me void. So it will not return to me until it has accomplished all that I've sent it forth to accomplish. So when God's word is returning to God, that word is returning at an empty sack. You get what I'm saying? So if I give you a bottle of water, if I send a bottle of water to you and I'm taking back the bottle, I don't expect the water to come back. He's saying when he sends his word to you, that word does not return until it has emptied itself of all that he has in store for you. So that means that anytime he speaks, it must find a fertile ground to land. And you must be that fertile ground, receptive to his word. Don't question God's ability or his authority. I've read Romans 15, verse 4, that everything that was written for our learning, so that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. If you look from January, we were still looking in January. We were still coping with no Naira notes in January, Abi. January, February, we were still queuing for new Naira notes. And then May, life changed. Hallelujah. But if you look at it, how many months back? 6 months. Life changed. But you're standing. If you look at what you've done in the last 6 months and what you did in the first 4 months of the year, what you have done in the last 6 months is far more than what you did in the first 4 months of the year. Because that's the way God is. The end is always better in Him than the beginning. So it's not because that you have suddenly known how to multiply things, or because you suddenly know how to add one and one together to make five. It's because of the words that He has spoken ahead of you. Hallelujah. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He says He will cause the lions to fall in pleasant places. You know the meaning of that thing? Someone described it this way. That if you have a parcel of land in the family, let's say you have a parcel of land, I don't know how many acres, more than one plot, and then they are distributing portions. Just like what happened between Lot and Abraham. Between Lot and Abraham. Lot looked, said, so that we don't fight. Lot looked and said, this man looks green. Very fertile. And he took it. And Abraham took the other side. At the end of the day, Abraham was the one that went to rescue him. As he brought him to live. Hallelujah. When he said, lying falling in places, very simple. So they have a parcel of land. And then some people look at it and say, this part of the land is swampy. And let's give divine the swampy part. And then this one that looks like dry land is going to be useful to us. You know, so people like that in family. And then they give you that one that is swampy. And then you are bowing your head and worrying yourself. The lines will fall in pleasant places. That line of, that they've divided for you, that portion that they give you, it will far be better than whatever they have. Amen. So when you think people are cheating you, don't bother. Those lines, what he said, is that they will fall in pleasant places for you. They are the words of God, and they are always laden with power. It's only the person that can see it, read it, and follow it that it will make any sense to. If you have not read it before, you will not know that it exists, and there's no way you apply it. Hallelujah. So as we journey through the rest of the year, and as we look into 2024, what's going to make the difference is the application of God's word in our life. Hallelujah. You know, they say wisdom is application of knowledge in the right direction. Hallelujah. And knowledge is what now? How do you get knowledge? How do you get knowledge? By looking into the Word of God. If you don't have, so you know there is secular knowledge and the Word of God. But whatever you see outside starts from God's Word. Amen. And they say all these things are happening. Everything that you see that looks secular has an origin in God's Word. It's how people now decide to apply them that differs. Amen. There's some people who use nuclear physics. They use it to generate electricity. Some people use it to kill. Abi? So there are always two sides to a coin. So the side that you want to use is what is important. Very important. So you take over, when you, so you, I'm saying that in this 30, the rest of the days of this year, and as we look in 2024, God's word will be coming your way, either spoken or written. Amen. Either spoken or written. Either instructions or promises, they will be coming your way. But except you are receptive to them and you begin to analyze them, it will not make any meaning to you. Amen. If I give somebody my phone. By the way, they finally changed my phone from you. So I told you they always give me phone. They've changed it. I told you now. When you wait, it will come. By the grace of God. I said I won't buy it. And then they sent, how many weeks ago? About 3 weeks ago. I'm just listening because you remember that I told you that every year they change my phone for me. Hallelujah. So they've sent it. And I did not ask for it. It's just God. Last time I bought phone was 2011. I used my money to buy phone, 2011, every time. I don't think that they give me Palasau. It's the most recent version that they give me. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm saying if I give someone my phone and the person does not know the value, and he begins to just let it lie anyhow, there's going to be a problem. If I give you my phone, this is my phone. If you open my phone, you find the notepad there. And then if you open my notepad, you find a lot of my notes there. So if I give you my phone, either you decide to be playing games with it, or you go to that notepad and begin to read and glean from the word of God. I'm saying that anything in your hand, how you make use of it, is determined by your inquisitiveness. It says, as the deer pants after the waters, so my soul longs after you. If your soul is not longing after God, even when his word is coming, you are not hearing. Amen. For the example of Abraham I gave you this morning, when God speaks, once God has spoken, from that point onwards, God is beginning to walk like that. So if you say there's no physical manifestation, the Bible says, I think it's Mark 11, right? That says that when you pray, believe that you receive, and then you have it. Hallelujah. And I think that man was saying that on last Sunday, when he was saying about Ponyongi Cho, about the fact that he said he has a bicycle, and everybody went outside and said, no, sir, I have a bicycle. He says, he's on the inside. Amen. The picture of God's word, the picture that God's word, the images that he brings to you as the form on the inside, they become physical. Amen. How God will do it is not our problem. Because even how I came into existence, was it my problem? Was it my problem? So when people start complaining, how did I end up in this family? If they didn't give birth to you, would you have come to this world? No, because some of us are very ungrateful. We're complaining about the family that we came from. Meanwhile, if the mother and the father did not decide to marry or decide at that point to give birth to you, you will not be alive. You will not be here. There will not be a Muiwa. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why question your own existence? If you think they are doing something right, sit down and pray. And then begin. If you think they are doing something not right, sit down and pray. And then begin to show them. Don't complain about where you came from. A footballer was... Okay, so there's this footballer. I can't remember his name. His son was supposed to be playing a competition, a match. And when he was in active football, he was always playing for his team. So his son was put on the bench. And that boy did not play that match throughout. And then his team lost. So when he was taking his son home, the son started complaining. He complained about the coach. He complained about the players. He complained about his colleagues and everything. No one said, come. Why are you complaining about everybody? What have you contributed to this team? It's not about everybody that surrounds you. It's about you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's about you and what you are doing to be an influence in that environment where you find yourself. They say they are illegitimate marriages, but they are not illegitimate children. Because everybody that is born by a plan with God. Amen. So don't be complaining. I don't know who is complaining. I don't know why that one came up. Maybe somebody is complaining about his family. Don't complain about your family. Look inwards and know that you have everything to change the environment around you. You say it's difficult. No, it's not difficult. It's a thing of your mind. Amen. So I'm saying God changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. And immediately, Abraham and Sarah were running with what God said. They were not working. The one they walked out, Abraham was saying, look, Ishmael is already here. God said, that's not my plan for you. And you are not going to help God. So if people that always help God, when you help God, you know when God says wait for something, and you decide that you have a way to do it, that thing that you have done for yourself is not of God. Always remember the story of Ishmael and Isaac. And that's where we are here, where we are today. Hallelujah. If Abraham had not tried to help God, there would not have been an Ishmael. And all God is saying is wait for me and be obedient. That's all. It was in his mind, he was thinking, how is he going to do it? I'm 100. I think the first time God spoke to him was 75. Yeah. And then he felt, okay, let me just follow the advice of Sarai. And then he got Ishmael. And then when God even told him that Sarah was going to have a child, he was telling God that maybe Ishmael is there. And God said, that's not my plan. So that's God's ultimate plan, which you must follow. When you do things, when you do things yourself and it looks like it's working, always remember that it could be an Ishmael in future for you. So when things are not happening the way you expect them to happen, and then you begin to bribe your way to have them happen, and then it suddenly works, and you say, yes, I did it this way. It could just be an Achilles heel for you. Because whatever God will do, he will do. Once he says it, he will do it. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's just talk to God this morning. Talk to him that even we are able to wait for his promises, able to discern his voice, wait for his promises, and hold on to the words that he speaks to us, the written words, the spoken words, the words that he brings our way. And nothing comes up of God to our way by mistake. It's deliberate. And every time we hear God's word, it is deliberate. And there's a reason for it. Us thanking because we make use of this, the opportunity we have every time we have it. And even as we go forth in this month and into the new year, his words to us as we write them down. Says, write them down, make them plain, run with it. Do it tarry, wait for it. It will not tarry, it will surely come. Thank him because his words are true. They are yes and they are amen. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you and we magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.